This is the podcast of Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta. Thanks for listening. If you have a moment, would you rate us or review us on whatever system you're using to listen? We would love to reach more listeners, and ratings and reviews help spread the word. Thanks.
The further you look, the more things can be quantified or are already being quantified. I've counted all the places that I've been.
New York, Palo Alto.
All the people I've been with.
488. Julie.
Roddy. Mom.
The restaurants and bars visited.
Italian. Japanese.
How many miles I've walked.
7.4 miles.
All the beverages I've consumed.
Coffee. Beer.
Books I've read. Music I've listened to.
Are you obsessive compulsive?
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the one and only Research Library rock and roll radio show. I am Charlie. I'm in the studio with Emmy, Wendy, and Fred. I'm also on the board, terrified once again. Fred, will you give me something supportive, please?
Well, can you please just turn the heat down in here? You've got so many buttons up there. Find the heat one.
I could smash this one a lot, but I don't think that would help. Each week on the show, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Data Visualization. The academic librarians in our audience will probably know that there is a new type of librarian that's been appearing in many research libraries in the last few years, including here at Georgia Tech, the Data Visualization Librarian.
And we'll be speaking with Shima and me, our new data visualization librarian, who is going to talk to us about, you guessed it, data visualization.
We're going to find out what data visualization is and why research libraries are getting involved.
How many times are we going to say visualization during this show?
I think it's going to be a lot.
Okay. If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for this show is LITS368 for Lost in the Stacks, episode 368. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or cool data viz examples with that hashtag.
Maybe someone will visualize the number of times we say visualization on this show.
I like it.
Our songs today are about revelations, the possibilities of the digital, and pilots. Visualization, ding, is a tool to bring things to light that may not be immediately evident, and to bring new understanding to things we thought we understood completely. It's all about what you see. So let's start with, Do You See What I See? By the Hunters and Collectors right here on Lost in the Stacks. Do You See What I See? By the Hunters and Collectors. Welcome back. This is Lost in the Stacks. And our guest today is Shimin Mi, the Data Visualization Librarian here at Georgia Tech. Shimin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's been great to come over in. I'm still very excited and feel very welcomed by the heat in this room.
Yeah, it's a little warm in here. It's getting a little hot up in here. Charlie, you said you were going to mash a button or something up on that control board.
Dear listener at home,
yeah,
the HVAC is broken. It has been for 3 weeks. And help is not coming.
Right, we're going to gut this out for an hour. So we're going to talk about data visualization today and data visualization librarians. And we need to start with what you, Shimin, would define as data visualization. How do you define that concept?
That's a great question. Data visualization is being used by a lot of different disciplines, a lot of different industries. So everybody kind of has a little bit of their own definition, but I think a very brave and broad definition of visualization, or I will refer it as VIS if we don't want the number of visualization coming up too many times on this show, is that it is any way we convert data sources into a visual representation for two reasons. The first one is to communicate that information clearly and effectively to the audience. The second is, if we are facing an audience who does not understand the data very well, it's a tool or a way to make sense of the data.
So who would this be useful to?
I would argue this would be useful for everybody. A tech, of course, is for students and faculty members. Although we are a very academic environment, there are different disciplines. If I am trying to understand something about aerospace, there are a lot of things I don't know, but visualization could help me understand a lot of things, like different models and how the numbers of like different topics, research, so on and so forth. So it really applies to everybody within academia and outside.
Okay. Outside academia, a lot of our listeners are outside of academia. So what are some examples that we might see about data visualization in our everyday life?
Sure. I think one very wide application of database these days are for business. For example, if a company wants to understand which products they are making money and how the consumers, the users, the buyers, how happy they are about the services and about the products, they can collect that information. That information could be visualized in a way that's like we talk about elevator speech, right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't have the time to go through pages of spreadsheet or long reports. So data visualization is a very effective and condensed way of reporting that kind of information.
Yeah, it sounds like a replacement for the spreadsheet that people do not want to go through, right?
It's an awesomer way. yeah, it's I would argue it's like you cloned the spreadsheet, but it looks totally different. But like inside, you're like, oh, it looks totally different, but it's the same thing. It's like diamond is carbon and food. There are carbon in food too, but you want a diamond instead of food, right? If you have the option, so... That visualization.
We lose some granularity, though, when we go from spreadsheet to visualization, right?
Yes and no. We do lose something, but sometimes we lose that information because that's not where our attention is. We want to be more focused than pages and pages long, but also visualization is not just charts and graphs. A lot of times we add motion, we add interactivity, we add map, we add a lot of layers. So if we want to, we can have different buttons. It's like flip through different aspects of the data. And if we're more interested in one aspect than another or others, we can be more focused on that.
So it's storytelling.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, I'm good with it, Fred.
Okay. Charlie, seal of approval. Obviously, in the digital world that we're in, we're generating so much information, which is how visualizations help, because we've got so much data to take on board that a visualization can help communicate that. But presumably, I mean, it's not a new idea, visualization. It's not just for the digital world. It predates, you know, it's from the analog era as well, I imagine.
Yes, actually, visualization could be traced back to the 16th or 1700. That was the earliest time when the first visualization as we speak appeared from math. That was a more intuitive way of showing some math concept in a coordinate system. Actually, coordinate system is a very basic and also a very fundamental.
You're talking just the XY axis?
Yes, that, you know, yes, okay. Visualization. So that's when it started, but it got really popular in the past few years just because we got a lot more data. According to IBM research, I think in 2012, every day, the world generates 2.5 billion gigabyte data, and today we generate 2.5 quintillion gigabyte data, which is like 1,800 zeros after one.
Charlie, can you do that math quickly?
Yeah, so that is a lot.
Thanks.
That's a good visualization in words.
So one thing that that you mentioned offline before we were on the mic that I wanted to ask you about was something called fast information consuming. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure if I even need to explain it because it's happening in everybody's life every day. I used to joke about some of my friends. I was like, you're a golden fish, which means they don't remember things I told them. So golden fish are notoriously known for their short attention span, which is, if you guys don't know, 9 seconds.
Right.
But it's
the only way they can stand the bowl. Yeah.
Right. But according to a Microsoft research project, we are now dropping behind the golden fish. We're 8 seconds. Like the web users, they have 8 seconds to attention to like really get anything. If you miss an 8 second time window, you lose your user or viewer. So.
Oh, man, I hate to think what that means for our listeners listening to this online.
We are speaking with Shiman Mi, our data visualization librarian here at Georgia Tech, and we will be back with more after a music set.
File this set under QA76.9 goldfish.i52y85.
Visualize the calm Wendy. Okay, that was Solar Revelations by Monkey Wrench, and before that, Can't You See by The Countdowns, songs about seeing things in a different light.
Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. We're talking about data visualization or data viz in libraries with Georgia Tech's own data visualization. I can't say it. Shimon Mi. Hey, we know what data viz is, but what are you? What is a data visualization librarian?
I think I am a combination of fun and doing no serious work.
Hey, we're not supposed to tell people.
Yes,
you know,
now everybody knows. Now everybody knows.
I do no serious work at all. It's all on the radio. Yeah.
Too late, I guess. Yeah, I should have known the rules earlier and better. So basically what I do here on campus is first I get to know all the colleagues who help promote my position to the campus. So I get questions from students and faculty members across the campus on various projects. A lot of times they come in with a data set that I don't really understand what was it. But we sit down and talk about the information that was included in the data set and how they were hoping to visualize it and what aspects they were trying to show to the audience. And then starting from there, we create some fun graphs, charts, motion pictures, or something even like a small film, like a very short one, really depending on, or a map with stuff with dots moving around, really depending on what the data is and how they want to visualize it. So my job is all about doing fun stuff.
How do you handle not being completely clear on what the data is or what the field is?
Usually people come in, like whoever comes in with the data are the experts of the data. So they will explain to me the aspects that I don't understand, but things I do understand. For example, it's a spreadsheet. I do know the numbers. I just need them to tell me like the threshold. Maybe I don't know what 12 means, 13 means. Is it good or bad? Is it big or small? They help me understand that aspect a little bit. And then we meet multiple times throughout the project to review what I've done and if that is what the researcher or the student needs for the project. And it's like a negotiation process. We talk about it and I do something and I show to them and we make some adjustments and I come back to more work and show it to them, or they come back, they go back to do more work and show it to me. And then it's just step by step throughout the process.
So you're talking a lot about sort of one-on-one consultations and visualizations. You also teach classes, right, to groups?
Yes, I do. This semester, we're going to have multiple workshops about different tools for visualization purpose or for just manipulating data. So it's going to be on the library calendar. But the short answer is yes, we do have some workshops. I also do go to the classes if some professors invite me to come in and talk once or twice or three times throughout the semester about how to find data, how to manipulate it, and what tools to use to visualize it. And sometimes I help review the final projects too.
Which came first for you, like the interest in data and producing the graphics or the librarianship?
I think these two things are one thing for me. Well, a lot of times when people ask me what I do, I say I'm a librarian. They're like, do you read a lot of books? Are we supposed to talk in the library? You know, it's the stuff you see on movie or, you know, animated movies.
Yeah.
It's like the lady wear glasses, although I do also wear glasses, and they sit behind the desk and shush people. But like for me, the librarianship is working with data and working with students.
Did you have a graphic background before you went to library school? Or because I'm imagining that in a way, like the fun part that you're talking about is that you get to make these graphics. And yes, editing and composing, you know, stuff that people experience,
yes,
is wonderful, right? That's the cool stuff.
It is.
But like librarianship started for me first, and then I brought in the radio. So I was wondering if you were a librarian doing other stuff and then started doing data viz, if you were a data person and then brought in the librarianship.
Yeah, I think I started with data instead of graph. So I started like getting a lot of data, and then I was like, what the hell is this? It's drowning me. I don't understand. This is too much. And then I was like, there has to be an easier way for a human brain to process that. That's how I got started looking around for ways of doing that, and that's how I got into data visualization. A good thing about data visualization is now these days we have a lot of tools that help us with making graphs, images. I don't have a graphic background. What is
a
it?
A background in graphic design.
Yes, thank you. thanks for helping me with English. I do not have a background in that, but there are a lot of tools that we can pick up pretty easily. So data visualization or data viz is not a scary monster. It's not like, oh, you have to like stay in the cave, study 1,000 years and come out like a fairy or something. It's not that hard. A lot of tools are reasonably easy to learn and use for different project purposes.
I kind of wish that's what it was like, though, because that sounds really cool.
Thanks.
It's like we got to wait for the cave to open before we do our visualization.
So we talked a little bit earlier about data visualization being kind of a new thing in academic library, relatively new. What is it about data visualization that places it well, that it's well placed in an academic library, that it belongs in an academic library?
So your question is like how data visualization fit into an academic library?
Yes.
I think, well, it's not too much of a question to me, because I think this data visualization library positions happen across different academic libraries because we have seen this strong need for it, this increasing need for it, because database has been used so much in both academia and industries, and then campuses start to wake up to the need of having more support creating this and having more support teaching students or educating students about this. That's where we started. So I think the actual database library shape started a little behind the need. So it was never a question like, how do we fit into the environment? It's like there is a call in the environment for database support before we even happened.
Libraries are one of the things that libraries are about. It's about access to information, and visualization as a way to to access that. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yes, absolutely. Also, I think it's what the whole academia is saying, the need to prepare students for some this experience or skills. No matter they decide to stay in academia after where they are or they want to step out to industry.
It sounds like it's something that we're all going to have to learn how to do soon. And so that's why we're learning it in libraries.
Right. So
are we asking about the location of the lab? I'm willing to share that information.
Sorry. You're the data visualization expert in our library, but there are other data visualization experts on campus. And how do you work with them? Where do your work strategies overlap?
One good thing I see on this campus is that people are very eager to do things. So when I first started my position, I actually did not have a fully structured strategy to collaborate or reach out to all the other database people on campus. But somehow they we run into each other at trainings, conferences, at meetings, or they just reach out to me, or I just reach out to them. So in a very short time, I got to know most of the database people on campus, being them for research or for more practical work support.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll talk more with Shimin Mi, the data visualization librarian at Georgia Tech, on the left side of the hour.
This is Matt Chapman.
This is Mike Chapman.
And we one time made this thing called Homestar Runner.
You're going to get lost in the stacks.
On WREK Atlanta. I can find one.
Okay.
Playlist.
Let's get a...
Where's this? I need a jewel case to clack on the floor.
Student government announcement.
Follow the blue light trail if you're...
Today's show is called Data Visualization, but a radio show and podcast like this one is all about the audio. So now seems like a good time to remind the listener, that's you, that there is indeed such a thing as data sonification, also called data audification, which you can use to listen to data. For instance, there is no sound in the vacuum of space, unless you're watching Star Wars, but you can assign audio to different sensor data to hear a satellite enter Saturn's magnetic field. That sounds like this. Or you could assign sounds to the movement of fish in an aquarium to give an aquarium experience to the visually impaired. That would sound like this. The point is, there are a lot of important ways to share and interpret data. While you ponder data olfactorization or data tastification, you can file this set under PS3612.A36A6. Listen closely.
You just heard Digital Power by Le Cassette. And before that was Belief Possibility by Laser Background. Those were songs about the passion for and possibilities of digital technology.
We're back to talk more about data visualization. There's that word again. And data visualization librarians with Shimin Mi, who is a I've tongue-tied myself. Data visualization.
The word
library.
Visualization finally got you.
Right.
I think she's the Viz.
The Viz. Oh, yes, yeah. Can we call you the Viz?
Yes.
All right. The Viz. Okay, so now that we've talked about what data visualization is and how librarians fit in with that picture, what's going on with data visualization at the Georgia Tech Library right now?
There's a lot going on. Last semester, we started a library database pilot lab. We are working with students from different programs about their class projects and their or individual projects. And I want to talk in different classes. This semester, we're going to roll out a full pilot because last semester we started pretty late through almost at the end of the semester. So this semester we're going to roll out a full viz lab to the whole campus and a series of workshops in the lab. And I am emailing faculty members if they need me to go into classroom to talk about data viz and tools available for the campus. So it's going to be an exciting semester for data viz pilot.
How many programs would you say, or rather not how many, but is there a wide spectrum of different departments that are represented, people that are coming to you to visit you in the pilot space or to come and have you talk to their class? Or are you noticing maybe that it's more one department than another?
I'm actually happily surprised by the wide disciplines that are interested in the Viz Lab. Last semester, I worked with the literature people. I worked with business people. I worked with people from business program, from supply chain industry, industrial, the engineering, civil engineering, and there are also some computer science students who heard that we have the virtual reality, VR and AR devices in the lab. So they also came in and try out these devices. I got to talk to some people from bioengineering about some small projects. So it's a very wide user base there.
Can you talk a little bit about the virtual reality that you have going on in the pilot?
Yeah, sure. So we have different devices in the lab. One is Vive headset, which is one of the best VR headset. And we also have Oculus Rift in the lab too. And they're both available for students to come in and play on the station. We also have a new tool called Leap Motion Controller, which you do not need to have a headset to have a VR experience. It's controlled by your hand motion. So as long as your hand moves above the controller, it will detect your hand and capture your motion on the screen. So you are controlling the screen by moving your hands. And there are different games. We also have a Leap Motion visualizer, which is a VR visualization tool. You can do some visualization, and then if you want to look at or to flip different pages or touch different parts of the visualization to get more details, you can just use the Leap Motion controller and your hand to control and interact with that visualization.
So can you talk a little bit about what do you see as the connection of VR to the sort of definition of data visualization that you gave earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. VR is actually becoming more popular too for visualization because of its immersive experience. I went to IEEE 2016 conference, and one research actually shows that VR has the potential of doing better visualization than even the biggest screen available at that time. So it's really becoming popular, and it's very fun. People remember the information there if they have a fun experience. So there's this huge potential, and I'm already collaborating with some staff members on campus testing out different tools. So stay tuned. We're going to have more VR and AR visualization tools available in the lab, and we're trying to get more support on using these tools.
So I think we've got about 30 seconds left. Real quickly, what's next on the horizon for the Georgia Tech DataViz pilot project?
Next, after running this pilot for 1 year, we're going to collect the data and we're going to put that data into structuring a new and final visualization lab in our brand new shiny library building. Hooray! And we're going to have something more stable and in long term, and hopefully that addresses user needs better than we are now, although we're trying our best. So yes, we're going to have a final lab.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Shima and me, the data visualization librarian here at Georgia Tech Library. Shima, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me here.
File this set under Q175.K29.
Take Me to the Pilot.
Na na na.
By Elton John. Before that, Try by Soccer Mommy. Those are songs about trying things out and looking for guidance.
Our show today is called Data Visualization, or Data Viz, or The Viz. And I am excited that there is such a thing called a data visualization librarian. That's a job title that didn't exist 20 years ago. But it occurs to me that most of us in this room have titles that didn't exist 20 years ago.
There have always been digital archivists, Charlie.
Yeah, but that was about fingers. Do you think there were a lot of digital archivists 20 years ago?
Probably a few, but not many.
Yeah.
Same with scholarly communication librarian, which is my title. Those really started springing up with institutional repositories maybe 10, 15 years ago.
I would like to think that I'm the only next-gen title librarian job, but I'm not sure. There were a lot of that was next-gen movement kind of stuff, but I don't know how many titles came of that.
I'm almost positive you're the first next-gen public services manager. That's a unique
right.
winner right there. Now, whatever our titles, I'm public engagement. Hey, though librarians remain at your information access, preservation, and dissemination service, we are here for you, whatever you're trying to do. And that is our show for today. Normally here, I would tell the guy at the board or gal at the board to roll the credits, but it's me. So I'll just sound a little crazy. Roll the credits and try to visualize the sounds you're hearing. I see a spaceship made of wood creating the horizon, but your mileage may vary. Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by myself, Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, and Emmy Decker.
Charlie was our engineer today, and the show was sponsored in part by The Collective, a library conference designed to create collaborations between next gen academic librarians, archivists, and library staff.
There it is. Find out more at thelibrarycollective.org, where you can see the schedule and register for next year's conference.
Legal counsel and olfactorizations of viniculture data were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta,
That's
Georgia.
That's wine smells.
Yeah.
Special thanks to The Viz, Shimin, for being on the show. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthesnacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we don't even know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we're going to find out who is Dorothy Crossland.
You should ask who she was.
Nice.
Time for our last song today, and we close with a song that sums up the ideal goal of a great visualization, understanding. This is Now I Understand by The Proper Ornaments, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.